I'm Claire. On September 17th, it was a Wednesday night, I was leaving church, and I was getting in my car, and there was an audible prompting. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that from God, but it was audible. And it said, put your seatbelt on. So I did. So I'm driving home, and I get off the highway, and I came to a stoplight, and it was red, and nobody was behind me, and I'm waiting, and it turns green, and I get up to about 20 miles an hour. And then out of nowhere, somebody slams into the back of my car. So turns out the guy was 21 and he fell asleep at the wheel. And he said that he thought he was going about 60, but he didn't know he was sleeping. So he had an 11-month-old in the car. I know, it was scary. But I was able to get out of the car and I talked with him and I asked him if I could pray for his child. And baby's great, praise the Lord. So my car died, bummer, and I had to call Matt, and he was going to come jump my car. So I was only about 7 minutes from home, probably would have taken him about 15. He had to wake up the kids and put them in the car. So I'm sitting there in my car with my door open, just facing forward, and I'm just thanking God for the opportunity to reach out to somebody and, you know, share a little bit of Jesus with them and for the prompting and the protection that he gave me. And I was just so thankful. And then out of nowhere again came a drunk driver and hit the back of my car. And we have a picture of it. It was bad. It was really bad. But the hit made the back driver wheel go so forward to where the driver's door was. It threw me out of the car and the wheel ran over my foot. But it's fine. And so I was laying there in the grass, digging in the dirt and pulling the grass out because it felt like a nightmare. And I literally needed something physical to show that it was real. I'm like, this can't be real, pulling out the grass. And I turn around and I'm like, what is happening? It feels personal now. And I look at the lady and she was so straight-faced and so drunk. And what seemed to be possessed and pointed at me with the straightest tone and said, what is wrong with you? Why are you laying in the street? And I was just like, this is crazy. And it was such a spiritual thing. I knew instantly it was a spiritual attack. It brought her higher. I was lower. I was vulnerable. She thought she had authority. And it was awful. So Matt came, and we got in the car, and I said, my physical's fine, but my spiritual's not. We need to pray now. I'm having, like, spiritual warfare on the inside. I was tormented. It was awful. And being thrown out of that car, I told Matt, felt like being thrown into hell, which sounds dramatic, and it was. And I never want to be that close to that ever again. And we prayed and prayed, and we were working through it, but I was just, you know, your adrenaline's rushing, and I was worked up. So we get home and we decided maybe we should go to ER. So we called a friend, and while we were waiting for him to come over, the devil was trying to tell me, I hit you once, I hit you twice, and now you're going to leave your kids alone. That's a really good idea. No, I was freaking out, and we prayed through it, and we did it anyways, and everything was fine. I went to the ER. I didn't have a problem wrong with me. I had a scratch on my knee. It was a miracle. So, yes, praise the Lord. So then last week, or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember now, I wasn't able to come to church, and I was just listening to some worship at home, and as I was listening, I just felt the Lord saying, I let him touch you, but I didn't let him take you. So don't worry about it. And so then he just kept talking to me and was telling me that this was the first time, but not the last time, that my life would feel threatened. And I was like, no, take it back. But the word came without fear. And it's because he knows me and he's preparing me for whatever it is and showing me how faithful he was in the moment, you know, and always. And it wasn't full of fear, and it was just full of confidence that whatever may come will be fine. So the song that he was put on my playlist, clearly, because I had never heard it before, was amazing. And the words are so full of comfort. And I feel like sharing that with you this morning because it is just such a good reminder of all he is to us without us even knowing it. And then you come into a situation and you're reminded.
This morning as I asked Claire to share that, it was from a couple weeks ago. I wanted her to be able to share that with you. It was almost a year ago when God began to drop what's happening for these 3 months that I kind of set aside that we would be our personal world evangelism to say, let's really invite the people in our world to be a part of what God's doing in our lives. And when I laid that out, the second month that we're beginning today, in fact, my title throughout this whole month is Real Struggles. Never knowing that 4 weeks ago I would injure myself and 2.5 weeks ago that we would go through some struggles of life. But to know that God is still on the throne, God is still fulfilling his purposes, God is still doing everything according to his plan. And Claire, I remember the night that it happened because you guys did end up going to emergency just to have things checked out. And they called us, and Tammy and my wife, we were there. It was late at night by the time we got the phone call from you guys. But I'm just like, Lord, what is going on? And somewhere along the way, we have to come back and go, even though we have struggles, real struggles, we have a God who is for us. And this month, I'm going to be talking to you and for the rest of October about this real struggles. And I know we all go through different types of struggles. But there are some struggles that we all deal with. And those are the ones I really want to deal with. But you need to know that God is with you no matter what. I'm titling this morning, Real Struggles. Subtitle for today is Give Up the Struggle of Inadequacy. Give up the struggle of inadequacy. Today is just going to be like a brief devotion because in a few moments the board wanted to have today and do a special pastor's appreciation, which we dearly appreciate and what a privilege it is for us to serve here. But this morning I'll do it kind of devotionally, but it's still powerful and I believe it could be life-changing today. Next week, I'm going to tell you what we're preaching on for the next 3 weeks. Next week, I'm going to talk about give up the struggle of control. About giving up the struggle of control. See, control is tied to having a lack of faith. And anytime we have a lack of faith, it gets us in trouble. The third week is going to be give up the struggle with offense. Church, we actually live in a culture today that they feel like it's their right to be offended. That's the way, in fact, many people go searching for reasons to be offended. They do it. But church, we're to let offense go. And then the last week of this month, I'll talk about give up the struggle with approval. You see, a lot of us know the quickest way to forget what God thinks about us, begin to be obsessed with what people think about us. We only need the approval of God and God alone. And it comes when we seek his face. Let me get started with today. I don't know about you, but it amazes me how quickly I can feel inadequate. When this happened, in fact, we were in emergency that evening, and I'm asking, can I preach tomorrow? And then I began to realize my inadequacy that this was going to happen, and the doctor saying it's not going to work for tomorrow or for Sunday. It went in on Friday night. Pastor Grant came in, and I'm like, I don't remember what all I told him, but he said, I just laid out everything that was in my mind for that Sunday. But there's a lot of things that happen in life where we feel inadequate, and it happens most of the time to me when I'm comparing myself to others. I begin to think they're more successful than I am, and I begin to think, what's wrong with me? And I feel inadequate because I don't measure up. In fact, it can even happen spiritually in our lives. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Have you ever been talking with someone and you bring up an issue and they're like, oh yeah, that reminds me of 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. And then they quote it to you. Does anybody know what 2 Chronicles? No, we don't. And you're like, how do they do that? And then we hear people pray, and it's like, wow, man, that was a powerful prayer. And then they ask us to pray, and we're like, rub-a-dub-dub, God bless this grub. Amen. Come on. And we feel inadequate. Well, today I want to look at a story of a man named Gideon in the Old Testament. And he teaches us some lessons, or at least God does through him, how to not feel inadequate today. Judges chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It will be on the screen for you as well. I'll be reading out of the New International Version this morning. But Judges chapter 6, I'm going to begin with verse 11. And as I read it, I'm going to add some commentary as we go through it a little bit today, just so you understand what it's talking about. Beginning at verse 11, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah." And this is not the same Oprah you might know. She's not that old. Never ask a woman her age, right? "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Asbarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites." Let me pause for a moment. If you're threshing wheat, you would normally do that somewhere up high where the wind would blow, and you throw it up in the air, and as the wheat falls, it blows the chaff away, so the wheat falls, and you have the purest of the wheat left. But Gideon, the Bible tells us, was in a wine press because he was afraid of losing his wheat. He was afraid of the enemy would come and afraid the Midianites would take it, so he's inside doing this. Not the best place. Verse 12 tells us, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" What did the angel call him? A mighty warrior. You see, the Lord saw something in Gideon that he didn't see in himself. So Gideon replies, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Now in verse 15, we're going to hear the inadequacy of Gideon as he begins saying in verse 15, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." One of us might have probably put it this way. We would have said, "I'm not talented enough. I don't have enough gifts. I'm not really good at leading people. I can't really sing well, and I'm not very brilliant. In fact, if you knew everything I had done, you probably wouldn't want me." Basically, Gideon is saying those things. He's saying, "I'm inadequate." But God's not buying it, and he won't take your excuse either. Amen. Now, verse 16, "The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.'" Heavenly Father, this morning we read from your word and we want it to instruct our lives. We want to learn from the lesson that you put there for us to learn. So Lord, reveal your word. Holy Spirit, help us in our lives to not have the feeling of inadequacy, but knowing you're with us. Amen. Amen. Back in verse 16 again, the Lord answered, and I believe this is the whole key to the message when the Lord says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." Three things we can learn from this story, I believe, in Gideon's life. The first thing you need to remember when you're feeling insecure, number one is this: God's view of you is different than you think. Say that with me. God's view of you is different than you think. I would have to say it. God's view of me is different than what I think. In fact, I can promise you that God sees more in you than you can see in yourself. In verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, who is hiding, The Lord says, I am with you, and God calls him a mighty warrior. You see, God sees more in you than you can see in yourself. And I want you to know, every single one of you in this place today, God's view of you is different than your view of yourself. Maybe somewhere along the way, someone has told you you can't do it or you won't ever be great. And somehow we begin to believe those things. And all of a sudden, here's all the reasons I can't do what God is calling me to do. But you need to know God's view of you is different than you think. I love the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, as Paul writes to the church. And he tells them, and I want everybody to help me out with this verse this morning. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you realize that long before you were even born, God had a heavenly to-do list for you? God ordained your days. He had planned them because his view of you was higher than our view of ourselves. Others will probably never ever see us as God sees us. I love the stories that we have in the Bible that teach us these things. When everybody else, remember the lady Rahab in the Old Testament? When everybody else saw Rahab, all they could see was a prostitute. All they could see was a harlot. But what did God see? God saw someone whose heart would be turned toward him, who would marry a godly man one day named Solomon, who would give birth to generations to come, and through her genealogy, through her would come the Savior of the world, Jesus. It doesn't matter your past. What God sees in you is more than what we can see or others can see. In fact, others saw a prostitute. God saw divine potential and purpose. When others saw little David, a little shepherd boy, God saw something different. God saw a warrior in him who was able to take on a giant. When Peter, in the New Testament, a person who messed up again and again and couldn't seem to get it right, what did others see in Peter? But what did Jesus see in Peter? Jesus saw someone who would one day be the guest speaker at the day of Pentecost. See, I came to tell you that God sees more in you than you see in yourself. So number one, say it with me, God's view of you is different than you think. Number two, God has given you more than you think. Say it again, God has given you more than you think. In verse 14, I love when God says to Gideon, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Gideon, he's saying, go and I want you to use what I've already given you. Go in the strength that you have. For some of us today, we don't feel like we have any strength. In fact, all we've ever heard is the negative message from our inner self that says, I don't have what it takes. I don't measure up. I want you to know you do measure up because God has given you more than you think. There is more inside of you than what you think. And you have everything you need to do everything God has called you to do. In fact, I'm living proof today that God put more in me than I ever thought. My example is simply having been born with cleft palate. It created some difficulties in my speech, especially as a young kid, and I would try to read out loud in class. And when I was growing up, I struggled with my speech impediment. And I was told by some, you'll never amount to anything. But I had a dad. And my dad would relentlessly encourage me by saying, boy, you can do anything you set your mind to. And today I'm here, and I may not be the best speaker in the world or the best even in this church, but I am doing what I am called to do with what God put in me, with the strength that I have. And today we have a heavenly dad who is relentlessly encouraging us, you can do it if you set your mind to it because I've given you the strength. I love the scripture in 2 Peter, and it comes from Peter, who was one who struggled. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Everybody aloud with me, read this again. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. God has given you more than you think. Don't ever insult God by talking about what you don't have. God has given you everything you need to do everything God wants you to do. So God's view of you is different than you think. God has given you more than you think. And number three, it's less about you than you think. Listen to verse 16 again. The Lord answered, I will be with you. Yet you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive, but I will be with you. Remember at the very beginning, the angel appears to Gideon. The angel says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. It was less about Gideon and more about God's power than Gideon ever realized. When God calls you to do something, it's more about the presence of God in our life than anything else. It's about His strength, not ours. It's less about you than you think. You see, if God calls us, He equips us. And then we'll have everything we need to do everything He's called us to do. Somewhere, church, we have got to give up the struggle with inadequacy. We've got to come and we've got to lay it down at an altar. Well, let me remind you what an altar is, because I want to bring this up because there's some things we're going to have to get rid of in our life. An altar is a place where things burn up and they're offered on the altar. And somewhere I've got to say, God, it's not my strength, it's yours. And I come to this altar and I lay my inadequacy on the altar, burn it up. And then, church, when we stand up and we get up from the altar, things should be different because we understand that God's view of you is different than you think. I also understand that God has given us more than you think, and I know it's less now about me than what I used to think. Church, it's all about Him. It's about what He's called us to and what He is doing in our lives. This morning, you may think you have struggles. You may go through things that you think, God, what are you doing in my life? And it might start off with physical and end up going, spiritually, there's something God is speaking to my heart. I don't know what the struggle is, but you need to know God is with you. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. Somewhere we've got to give up the inadequacy that, Lord, I can't tell my neighbor about you. Lord, I can't tell my coworker about you. Lord, I don't have the strength. I don't have the words. The Holy Spirit said, I'll speak through you. When you get ready to be used, I will speak through you. And church, somewhere I've got to believe and lay down the inadequacy and the struggle that I have with it and say, no longer is it a struggle, and give it up. It's a real struggle. All of us deal with it. But God, you need to know, can use you just like He used Gideon. Go read his story. Go read. Gideon went through it. And it may not happen overnight, church. I wish it would. But church, if we'll just keep trusting Him and keep knowing it's about Him and His strength, He will help us. Because God's view is different than you think. God has given you more than you think. And it's less about you than you think. Just remember that. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that your Spirit would somehow help us. And that you would minister faith and hope to us today. Lord, for those who may be feeling and battling with inadequacy today, Lord, would you heal our hearts? God, by faith today, I believe we can lay down all the false beliefs we've had and come to your word and believe what you have to say about us. Lord, renew our minds with your truth today. Lord, fill us with hope so we can see what you have placed within us. Lord, that you've given us more than we've ever realized. And help us to ultimately understand it's more about you than about me. So in Jesus' name, would you use your church for your glory Amen. Amen. So, church, I did it a little bit devotionally today. I share it with you, and you can take that and grab hold of that. In the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about these struggles. And God's going to help us because we don't have to struggle anymore. Amen? Amen.